The theme for our year has been living life with, like, and for God. And this passage from Revelation chapter 22 speaks to that. Revelation chapter 22 verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. In this passage from Revelation, we see the future, and we see people, you and me, and all other people who love God, living for all eternity a life with, like, and for God. It says that we are in the city and God is in the city. So the gathered people are the city, and God is present with all of us in that city. And we have our name on his name on our foreheads. That means we are like him. Not that we have weird tattoos on our foreheads, but that we are like him. But also, and this is interesting, it says we will serve him and reign forever and ever. Serving and reigning. We will be living for God. We won't just be, you know, lolling back on clouds playing harps as the sort of, you know, the human, the sort of caricature of heaven. No, but you and I are destined to, for all eternity, in God's amazing universe, to be living for him by serving him and reigning over parts of this universe that God delegates to each one of us. So do you feel like you've never been a boss or a king? Well, that's in your destiny. Have you never had the privilege of being a lowly servant? Well, that's in your destiny too. This serving and this reigning is work. Now, some of us think that work is a curse. And in this passage, it actually says that there is no more curse. But if we go back to Genesis, at the very beginning, God gave us work to do before the fall and before the curse. It says in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you can go back and read the various different passages, but it says that we were created in God's image and in his likeness. That means we are like God. And what had God just been doing? He had been working. He had been creating the universe. And then he actually, more specifically, delegates it to humans to rule and reign over and subdue the earth. And in Genesis chapter 2, when he places Adam in the garden, he says, and to take care of it. And so before sin entered the picture, God gave us work to do. Why? Because it's part of who God is. And we're created in God's image. But what is work? I don't know whether you've ever thought about that. What is work? Is it just what you do 9 to 5? And if you're too young or you're too old, you're free of it? Well, it wouldn't be a 10th anniversary without some reference to Dallas Willard, would it? And so, I want you to try on for size this Dallas Willard definition of work. Your work is the total amount of good that you will produce in your life. The total amount of good that you will produce in your life. And you think about it, go back to Genesis, when God was at work, he created it, what did they say? And it was evening, and God looked at everything and he created, and it was good. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, it's by grace we have been saved through faith, created in Christ Jesus in order to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you and I to do. Oh, there's a thing up here. This is going to be from for the excellent training track thing that Paul's going to be doing later on. So, yeah. So I'm just going to pull it down so we can just use this briefly. Oh, better carefully look after it. Okay. Blueberry gate right there. All right. Okay. So Dallas Willard also helpfully talks about different spheres. First of all, there is your job. That is what you are paid to do. Now, some of us don't have paid jobs, right? If we're kids or we're retired or we help run families or whatever else, but your job is what you're paid to do. Bigger than your job is your ministry or calling. What are the specific things God is calling you to do right here and now? Maybe it's to care for a sick neighbour. Maybe it's to explain Jesus to someone. Maybe it is, to teach in a church. Maybe it's to whatever else it is, right? What is the specific thing that God's calling you to do in addition to the job which often just pays the bills and keeps you alive and all that sort of stuff, right? Then you've got, outside of that, you've got your work, which is the total production of lasting good that comes from your life. And that actually all sits in your actual life, right? Remember, we are human beings before we're human doings. We are with God in heaven before we reign and serve, right? So we are always more than our work. And we're definitely more than our ministry. And thank God, we're more than our job. But unfortunately, for some of us, that's not the case. So as we're learning to live for God, what that involves is our work, our production of good. Whether that's you're in a nursing home and you are kind to the nurse who is looking after you, or you're a young child who is really grateful to your mum for making you a great dinner, or anywhere in between where you're producing good, right? Helping your family operate well. Helping the person in need down the street. But for most of us who work 40 hours a week, a primary place where we are going to need to learn to live for God is in our job. Certainly in our ministry and our calling, and certainly in that wider work, as we know, but primarily in our job. And if we're going to learn to live life for God, we've got to include that. We can't just have that's the stuff I've got to do so I can then get on with my real life. No, your job, however you conceive of it, whether you like it or not, it is part of your real life now, and it is a sphere for you to live for God. And Paul talked about this in just two last comments I'm going to finish with in this short reflection. As we think about how we can live for God, Paul was talking to slaves. Now you might, some of you might feel like you're a slave in the job that you have at the moment. I'm sure the chicken shop people would be glad to hear that. For Paul's other job, just for those who are listening to the recording and don't get that reference. So in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this, verse 23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." So when you're doing the most mundane thing at work this coming week, try and call to mind, I'm going to do it with all of my heart, from the depth of my soul, as if I'm doing it for Jesus. And just the little practice of picking some small thing, whether it's in your school class, whether it's with your relatives, whether it's in the office, whatever it is, pick some seemingly mundane thing. And say, God, help me to do it from the depth of my heart as if I'm doing it right for you. Now, you might be doing it for your boss or whoever else, but doing it for God as well. And then, when you do that, expect and rely on God's energy. So that's what Paul did in his life. And in chapter 1 in Colossians, he said, talking about what he does, which is to proclaim out him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, "To this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Not only is it about doing all of our life, including our job, for God, but it's doing it for God with God's energy. And so you might also call on, in that moment, in that mundane thing, "Help me to do this, Jesus, for you, with your energy." And who knows, the thing that you thought was mundane, you might actually discover is a place where you produce lasting good as part of the wider work of your life. As we train to reign forever. Another Dallas Willard quote. Let's pray. God, I want to pray for all of us here who have maybe had a smaller view of work, a burden view of work, a curse view of work. I pray that our eyes would be lifted. And Lord, that whether we're employed or not, we all have the opportunity to be engaged in the production of lasting good, whether we're old or whether we're young. And Lord, I pray that this week that you would help us to take a small step to do a mundane thing with all of our heart for you. And may we know your energy and wisdom and discover the production of good in that moment. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish our service time before we go into our training tracks with communion. And in communion we remember the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. And you might be acutely aware today of some of your failings. Maybe there's something that's really gone wrong this week. Maybe there's something you should have done that you haven't done, that you have done that you shouldn't have done. Or maybe it's connected with what we've just been talking about and you've had like a negative view of work or your job or whatever else. And use this communion time as we eat the bread which reminds us of Jesus' body and drink the blood, the juice which reminds us of Jesus' shed blood, of his covenant of forgiveness with us. Let's be full of gladness as we come to Jesus and receive his forgiveness afresh. But maybe you also can use communion this morning to reaffirm with you in a very physical, tangible way that God is with you. But maybe you might also like to say, "Jesus, I'm taking these symbols into my body, I'm taking you into my life so that I can live for you." So maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's presence. Maybe it's help. But as we draw near to God with communion, let's press into him this morning. Let's take these physical things that Christians for thousands of years have done to remember Jesus, and let's draw near to him by sharing the bread and the juice together. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are with us. In our singing, in our praying, in our sharing, and in the scriptures. And God, we now pray that deeply by your Spirit that you would be with us in communion. May our awareness of Jesus' life, death and resurrection be enhanced in our lives right at this moment. And as we humbly come before you, God, recognizing our own need, may we receive from you the things we need. Forgiveness and assurance of your presence and your life in us to help us to live for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.